Cool. So we're good to go. I was telling you what I did last week. So we went away for the weekend. This is just by way of like one of the things I'm thinking of. Pretty unrelated. So I had to change a tire at the side of the road, middle of nowhere. And I've done this this is about the third time that I've done it. Is I change a tire and I just rip my back. And then I like hobble around. So we're standing at this, and Amy, who's like pretty much stronger than I am, and she's going, "Dad, don't do it. Don't do it." And I'm like, I'm fine. I've got to three of the wheel nuts on the third one. And pop. So I started the year. I ended the year like barely walking around. And my daughter saying to me, "You see, you need to listen to me." I did think, it related to just a few of these things of thrive and just listening and just, you know, I don't know. I was also just thinking of all kinds of different levels of health and wellness and things like that. But this morning is all about the Magi. So one of the, you know, possibly the most sort of famous picture or image of the birth of Jesus is always the nativity scene, and you know, there's cows and donkeys and baby Jesus in the manger and all of that, and we focus on that for Christmas. And then there's always, you know, the three wise men, always the Gospels. Matthew actually talks about the Magi. And in actual fact, part of these sort of seasons of the year that I often keep coming back to. And I'm not someone who follows the lectionary the whole year, but that you know that in the sort of big times and some of the flows work really well. And this one is quite incredible because the beginning of the year, the first Sunday of the year, is often this focus on what is called the Feast of Epiphany, or just Epiphany. And it's not often on a Sunday. In actual fact, this year it's celebrated tomorrow. It's Monday. So it falls in whatever, how many days after Christmas. But it's often celebrated. I think if you're part of a Catholic church or other churches around the world, you might have a special service tomorrow. But most churches focus on it sort of before and after the actual day. And it's this theme of Christ being made known, Jesus being revealed to the world. And for me, I just think, what an awesome theme for the first Sunday of the year. And it's actually a season. There's a day, and then there's a number of weeks and that kind of thing. But the kind of the church flow and season for the beginning of the year is this thing of Epiphany. And it's like, it's exactly what you were saying, what we want to pray. We want to pray and we want people to have an epiphany that Jesus is God's son, his Messiah. He's the one who was sent into the world to save us, to redeem us, and to reclaim all that has been lost. And that is the epiphany. The revealing, the revelation, the aha moment that the world needs. So that is just, for me, this awesome. And such a, I just find every year it's so relevant. That we start the year, and even as you were saying, Judy, that there's the sense for ourselves that I want to see him afresh. I want to know him more. And it kind of, it culminates in a sense for me. So there's the sense of revelation, seeing him anew, personally, some people for the first time. But then the Magi, bringing their gifts, kind of fits in with you would say, also serving and that kind of thing, but bringing their gifts and kneeling before the king, which is such a powerful picture of worship. So if we could just see him more, see him afresh, and respond by worshiping Him. That we bring our gifts and that others would have this aha moment. That is really what the season is about. So I'll just fill in on that for the next few minutes and then we'll have communion. But let's read the story, because again, it's a story that we know so well, but think of it in the sense, and almost what I was going to say afterwards, the incredible thing. Think of this. The first people who worship Jesus, who are drawn to Him, are not religious people. They're not Jews. They're not priests. They're not Pharisees. They're the outcasts. They're the excluded. These are people that would never have been allowed to worship in the temple. They're the first worshippers. It's amazing. It's like absolutely incredible. And you know, the epiphany in the Gospels is not Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, announcing to Mary that she's going to have a son by the Holy Spirit. That's not the epiphany. It's not Mary and Elizabeth when they visit and John, you know, bouncing around in Elizabeth's womb. It's not that. It's when rulers and people from afar come and kneel before the king. And the church later said, that's the epiphany. That is the revelation that the world needs. And that they would come and bring their gifts and bow before the king. So how can that not be like the most important thing that we celebrate at the beginning of every year? So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east, they think from Persia, today's Iraq, they came to Jerusalem and they asked, where's the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw His star when it rose and we have come to worship Him. Incredible. And then King Herod heard this and he was disturbed. He thought he was the only king. He'd got rid of a whole lot of other kings, by the way. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests, teachers of the law, everyone who was in the know, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And after they'd heard the king, they went out on their own. And the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They rejoiced, literally. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So again, a story that is celebrated in all these nativity scenes and that, but so easily missed of what it really means. Luke's gospel, and this is, it was Matthew chapter 2, but Luke's gospel particularly is the gospel that is written to the Gentiles. Luke wrote that people would see and know that Jesus is the Messiah, the King. And the interesting thing is, out of all these prophecies that they start getting together, I mean, here we had one just even brought in, people saying the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But was the sense that when the Messiah came, when God sent his Son, this would be for the whole world. It was the call, it was the purpose of Israel. The covenant that God made with Abraham was meant to be for all the nations. It was meant to be that Israel was the light to the nations. And now again, there's this sense, this expectation, that this gift is not just for the Jews. It's not for the chosen few. It's for the whole world. And that, for me, is a bit of a challenge, because even today and in the history of the church, we haven't done that very well. Often different churches and different movements and different denominations and that kind of thing, we go, this is who we are, and this is who we are, and we celebrate our differences and we exclude. And often as different movements, it's just part of being, you know, different communities. It's part of our makeup sometimes, is that in order to identify ourselves, we exclude others. And the Jews had excluded. And the church often excludes. And yet, the Magi are the ones who bring their gifts and worship. And it's this picture. This is for the whole world. These are for the rulers, the wise men, these guys were weirdos, you know. I mean, some of the people, I don't think it's as literal as this, but often people translate magi as, you know, that's the word that we get the magicians from. They were sorcerers. You know, I mean, if people like that came in the back, we'd be like, no. You know, go to some weird flea market and dance with bells and incense, but don't come do that. Yeah. You know, and these were the people that they brought their gifts. And it's almost as if we need more of this, people just seeing Jesus for who he is. Do you want to be a Christian? They say, no, that's fine. Do you want to join the Vineyard? No, that's also fine. Do you want to be this Christian or that movement? Don't worry about all of that. But can you see who Jesus is? Can you just come and just see the uniqueness, the magnificence, the beauty, and just bring your gifts to him? And then, well, maybe you'll find a place that you fit in. But that should be like inconsequential. You know, if you want to have communion every week and if you want to dress up in robes and have different colors, well, we know some people. You know, if you want to, like, meet on the beach every day in, you know, barefoot and just, like, jimbes, well, we'll find you some people who, you know what I mean? But that shouldn't matter. It should matter that you come and you see Jesus and you behold him and you go, there is something striking. There is something about this man. And the Magi left, they left their city. They left everything behind them and they followed a star. And it's quite a weird, the timing of this thing is like quite weird, because it's, you know, you read the story and you think, you know, Jesus was born, a star appeared and the Magi were at the door knocking. But I mean, if they came from the east, they had to leave months, some people say years, ahead of the birth of Jesus. And then they arrived when he was still in Bethlehem. And they had their gifts to worship him. And so there is a powerful message to us, as believers, as Christians, to say we want people to see Jesus and to know Jesus, but they might not fit in with us. They might not want to come to church with us. And that's okay. Because what do we want? We want them to bow down and see him as God's sent King and Messiah. And that is the most important thing. So in the midst of this, why it fits in, the Gospel of Luke is actually the theme for the year. Every different year, there's these cycles of different Gospels. And this year particularly, there's an emphasis on Luke. And Luke, more than any of the other Gospels, emphasizes the poor, the outcasts, women who weren't valued in the society of that day, and justice. Luke is the one that emphasizes these themes of justice and also prayer. It's quite interesting. He weaves all of that more than any of the other gospel writers. So maybe as a challenge, just read Luke in the next week. So our prayer, I think, as individuals, even as a church, can be, we want, Brenda, as you said, and Jill, as you said, we want people that have no relationship with Jesus, that just put him aside. We want them to see Jesus. And you know, John the Baptist's prayer, remember what John prayed or proclaimed? He said, I must decrease that he might increase. And that's a challenge. I mean, that is a personal challenge, because sometimes it's all the paraphernalia of me that maybe is hindering some of the people closest to me to seeing Jesus. And it's like, could I lift him up? Could I exalt him in my life? That it's not about me, that people would see Jesus. And can I bring them? Can I share with them? Can I just pray for them? Maybe some of the time. I think sometimes with some family members, I think, let me just leave and pray. Because even as I open my mouth, I just, it's like a shutdown. I have one family member in particular. She's, you know, just see me and she'll be like, locks and loads, you know what I mean? She's like, and I think, okay, I'm not the person to share with them. But we can pray and continue to pour out our hearts before the Lord and say, would you make yourself known? And, you know, even corporately, as a challenge to the church around the world, can we be praying that the wise and the rulers of this world would have a glimpse of Jesus? Maybe that pack some bombs away, or, you know, do some, maybe share some resources. You know, you hear things. I mean, it's like, if the US parked their defense budget, we could end world hunger. World hunger. Yeah, like little, I mean, you know, but like little things like that. So could the wise, or could some of the unwise but rulers, I need to behave myself, could they just see Jesus? You know, take your political card and your whatever type of Christian you are, stick it in your back pocket and just go, could we see Jesus? Have a fresh revelation of him. Okay, so moving towards communion, because we need to break bread. So there's the sense in which we're praying for others, but personally, I wanted to maybe even use it next week, but I'll use it this week as well. One of the most widely used sort of vision statements or phrases that churches use, which I actually love, is just simply to know him and make him known. And that is so much of what Epiphany is about. So to say, to pray as we break bread, to see him anew, to see him more, to just go deeper with him this year. And that, like the Magi, that we would bow our knees and kneel. And then make him known. But personally, as we come to communion, can the challenge to us be, Lord, let this time be an epiphany. Let this time be a revelation again. I've known you for 6 weeks or 6 decades, I don't know, whatever your time. But can I just see you afresh and worship you more? And worship in the sense of, you know, it's so obvious. It's not just their worship, they knelt. But they didn't sing choruses once a week. They brought their gifts. They brought their gift. And that is worship. When we bring our resource, when we bring our gifts, when we bring our vocation, when we bring our whole lives and we say, Lord, use us. Use us as you will. And so that also becomes those around us that are going into grade 7 and 12. You know, it's like we want that sense also to be growing, the sense of purpose, that we would use our gifts, our calling, and lay it at his feet. So Lord, as we break bread now, we receive your sacrifice. And Lord, we pray as we take the symbol of your body, as we eat it, as we, you know, digest it, we're saying we want you to consume us. We want to see you afresh. And we want our lives to be about you, Lord. So let's take the bread for the moment, and as we pass it round, just bring before the Lord in your own words, in your heart, just how you would articulate this, and just bring it together for yourself. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We say, come.